to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
641, if you go with the theory that those who know the candidates best know the candidates best, you got to listen to what Gary Byrne has to say, don't you? Gary Byrne, former Secret Service agent. And the Clinton White House has written a very hard-hitting book on Hillary Clinton. And he'll join us on the phone here in just a second. The co-author of The Art of the Deal is also out this week talking. He says Donald Trump is essentially a 10-year-old, and it scares the hell out of him that he could end up being president. So there's two starkly different perspectives. Is Gary ready, Mr. Byrne? Gary Byrne joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Byrne. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Let's establish your bona fides. You were a Secret Service agent when?
I was a Secret Service Uniform Division officer from 1991 to 2003. I protected the Clintons from the time they started running until the time they left office.
And in your book, you lay out that Mrs. Clinton, from your eyewitness standpoint, had a significant temper problem?
Oh, absolutely. All the rumors that everybody always heard from when they lived in Arkansas, the scandals down there, the Trooper Gate, and all the rumors all came to fruition, all came true when they came to the White House. And myself and many other people witnessed this bizarre behavior and her angry, and in some cases, dangerous behavior.
Well, considering the subject of her wrath, certainly dangerous would be the right word, but there's probably women listening that go, if he was cheating on me the way he was cheating on her, I'd hit him with a lamp too.
Sure. I get that, but then my next question would be, why do you stay there, and why do you keep exposing yourself and your family and friends to that bizarre, dangerous behavior?
When did you first witness the trouble?
So the first time I saw anything was in the early when they first got into office. One of the first things I saw was one day I was on the South Lawn of the White House. I was on my way back to my post, the South Lawn of the White House is the side of the White House that's closest to the Washington Monument. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and all of a sudden the First Lady came walking out of the mansion very briskly. She was dressed in exercise clothes. She was headed towards the southeast gate, and she was yelling, cussing, throwing her arms up in the air, like almost throwing a, I don't want to say a tantrum, but she was definitely animated. And you know, we kind of looked at each other like, you know, I guess here we go, you know. And she was headed towards the southeast gate, and there was no protection with her. So my coworker went right over the radio, notified the control center. They came right back, kind of urgent, and said, you know, that the protection detail was aware of it, and they were on their way out. And that quick, an agent came flying out the door, and he was still in his suit, and he was obviously being in his lunch because he was still chewing food, and he kind of put his hands up in the air and rolled his eyes looking at us, said they're coming down the knoll there, the hill, and he said, you know, he kind of looked at us like, here we go again. Well, as she approached the gate, you know, my coworker tried to open the gate as slow as he could to give the detail time to catch up. And they did, and a K-9 officer that was paying attention on the radio pulled around to that side, you know, to help them. And the reason this is dangerous is because, first of all, it's dangerous to Mrs. Clinton. She's obviously trying to ditch her detail because, for some reason, she's so angry she can't really, you know, she didn't appear to be able to understand that what she was doing was dangerous, or she didn't care.
She wanted to get out of the White House as fast as possible, presumably after another fight with the president.
That's entirely possible. I don't know what sparked it, but it certainly, you know, we saw a pattern of it. So it's dangerous to her, it's dangerous to the agents, and it's dangerous to the public. If you were at that park with friends or family, and you, all of a sudden you realize that was Mrs. Clinton, and you started going towards her to say hi.
That would be a problem, yes.
Right, those agents come flying out of there. They're going to treat everybody like a threat. And this is just one example of her bizarre, dangerous behavior, you know, that comes from what I believe is her inability to control her anger at certain times.
Without giving up anything that you can't give up, obviously, as an ex-agent, The way it's supposed to work is if any of the people you're protecting need to go somewhere, they're supposed to notify you first so you have the ability to make sure the detail's ready, or how does that happen?
Sure. There's certain things that are routine. You know, for instance, they routinely get up, you know, they come down. The president himself routinely goes over to the West Wing. And then if they're going to do anything outside of that, yeah, they need to notify us. And actually, President Clinton, in the beginning, was a problem with this because he wanted to go running outside. And for some bizarre reason, for almost a year, nobody would go and ask him, or he would never tell anybody that he was going to run or not. So the Secret Service had to have set, and every morning was set up to do two different things. Either one, go over to the West Wing, or two, go jogging. And that means you had to have double the manpower. You had to have a motorcade on the South Lawn. I mean, we wasted so much money that first year. It was ridiculous. And then finally, you know, the service kind of took control of it, and some donor came forward and built a track on the South Lawn, like a padded area to jog, and that helped eliminate that. But it was just another weird thing that, you know, what's the big deal? Tell the service what you want to do, and they'll make it happen.
Yeah, of all the things you have to learn once you get to the White House, it doesn't seem that that would be the hardest one to learn, even though it's a significant lifestyle change for anybody. But you've also been under Secret Service protection, presumably for months, as the candidate and the nominee, right?
Right, exactly. And the other thing, too, is, and when, you know, I say this about Mrs. Clinton, when it comes to her anger, if this isn't the lifestyle that you can handle, then leave. Or why would you choose it? You know, you didn't get there by accident. They ran, you know, as governor for years. They used this huge lie spin cycle to make themselves look like that they could pull this off and that they were the right people to do it. They didn't get there by accident.
No, and it's not the first time he did it. Having said that, however, there are certainly women listening now who've been victimized by affairs who can tell you that, you know, reacting to it doesn't necessarily make sense when it makes sense. And when you're in a public spotlight like that, it's another problem. So. Gary Byrne, 29-year veteran of law enforcement, Secret Service agent during the Clinton administration. By the way, his book is called Crisis of Character. A couple of questions that may or may not be obvious to people. You've had other Secret Service agents say you're full of it and you're making a lot of this up. What do you say to them?
Well, I'm a former Secret Service Uniform Division officer. The people that are coming after me and slandering me is the former Secret Service Association, a Secret Service Agent Association. And actually, it's not the first time they came after me. They came after me about 15, 18 years ago during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So here's the deal. If I didn't see what I saw, who would put themselves in this position to take all this scrutiny? And two, if I didn't have the access, why during the Monica Lewinsky scandal did Judge Ken Starr subpoena me 6 times? I'm the first employee ever of the U.S. Secret Service who was compelled to testify against the sitting president during a criminal investigation. I was subpoenaed 6 times and then eventually ordered by Supreme Court Justice Rehnquist to testify. So the agents, the retired agents that are sitting around on their backsides not doing anything, have nothing better to do than slander me, are wrong, and they weren't there, no matter what they say.
Is there any feeling that you broke a code of silence that's not supposed to be broken?
There is. And you know what? They're partially right, and here's the deal with that. I'm not comfortable about it. As a matter of fact, the first time I talked about it publicly, I could barely get it out. But you know, let's talk about how I got here. I got here because the President of the United States wasn't man enough to stand up and tell the country, without having all this investigation and wasting all this money, that he did something wrong with a 22-year-old intern.
Right.
So we had this huge investigation. Myself and at least 20 other uniform division officers were subpoenaed, young agents, and then one senior agent that wasn't even on the detail at the time. And here's the crazy thing. The Secret Service executives that ran the Secret Service at the time, and these high-up agents that were running the detail, they had all the information that Judge Starr wanted, but they didn't want to screw up their lives and career by testifying, so they pushed us forward. They could have put the stop to this, too, and they didn't do the right thing. So anybody that says that I wasn't there, I'd like to know where you were when the subpoenas were flying. And two, I challenge anybody to sit down on any mainstream media TV show and talk it out. Because what I saw, what's in my book, Crisis of Character, is what happened in my life, and a good portion of it is actually sworn testimony.
We're going to run out of time here very quickly, but you're supporting Trump for president, yes or no?
Well, I haven't come out to support him yet publicly, but the truth is I always vote Republican because I like my Second Amendment rights, and I usually vote my checking account, the economy. So he will be getting my vote. I just haven't said it publicly.
And is anybody compensating you from the Trump the future Trump administration or the Trump campaign in any way?
No, thank you for asking that. Listen, nobody knew about this book. First of all, nobody's compensated me from the Trump campaign or from any Republican campaign. I'm getting paid to, I have a contract to write a book. Nobody knew about this book until Matt Drudge put it on his website around June 28th. I purposely didn't tell anybody, especially the people I used to work with in Secret Service and the people I worked with in the Air Marshal Service, where I just retired from, because I wanted them to have deniability, because I know how vindictive the Clintons are. I know how vindictive Homeland Security and TSA and the Air Marshal Service can be to their employees. So I wanted to give them deniability. Nobody knew.
Crisis of Character, out and available everywhere. It's Gary Byrne. Thank you for your service. I think you have stepped into it to some extent here, but these are your beliefs and what you witnessed. And, I think you deserve credit for speaking out. For those of you who want to read the book, go ahead and pick it up. Crisis of Character. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much for your time.